say compared to back then when people saw circuses more clowns and other things like that, do you think nowadays people are a lot more open to the different aspects of what circus could actually be?
They are, but at the same time, they've only ever heard of one, Cirque du Soleil. Most people. I mean, you know. In the 80s, most people had heard of Arcaos, which was a French anarchist. They were very new circus. In fact, they were more dangerous than us. I mean, they were juggling chainsaws and riding motorbikes around the ring and all sorts of things, which we didn't go that way. But they had evolved from a traditional a little family circus with gypsy wagons and goats and they just had an inspiration to do this modern look circus. To give you an idea of how different it was, the pricing regime was like this. Children were the most expensive, adults were a bit cheaper, and people in biking leathers and with a helmet got the cheapest. That was them saying, this is the audience we're aiming at. There will be topless women, there will be rude jokes, there will be dangerous stuff.
Did you say you found yourself in many dangerous situations, and if so, how did that make you feel?
In what situation?
Maybe so there was a lot of danger sometimes involved in performance. Yes. Is that something you experienced, and if so, how did that make you feel?
I'm not a very brave person. That's why I took up juggling. You know, you might break a fingernail on a ring and you might bash yourself in the nose with a club, but you know, you're probably not going to hurt yourself badly. I've had a fat lip when two rubber balls hit, you know, but it's not seriously dangerous. The tumbling and acrobatics that I did was relatively dangerous, especially in the street, because I learnt to tiger dive roll onto a mat and then onto a floor, and then eventually could do it on wooden floor and then on concrete without hurting myself. Not a good plan, you know, and things like anything which involves landing hard on your feet. For instance, this is not a springy wooden floor, it's concrete. It really hurts if you do tumbling and things on that. So I became very aware of that because I would often work in hotels and, you know, I did a lot of court jester for medieval banquets and things. And I could feel immediately, oh, by the end of the evening my legs are going to hurt. And on a sprung dance floor you can actually jump around all evening and it doesn't hurt. So mine were just the normal physical things of trying to stay fit, as opposed to injure myself. I mean, I hurt myself coming off a unicycle a couple of times, trying to learn to ride backwards and things, because no one was teaching me and no one knew how to do it. All of these things could be taught safely now, but I was the fool going in and doing it without knowing what I was doing. Right. First of all, I tried to do a forward somersault. I didn't know you had to go up, turn and down, and I just drove my head and neck into the ground and, you know, could have broken my neck. But you know, I was quite young and foolish and just trying to learn things I'd seen on films and things, because there was no video. You couldn't capture things on TV and play it back. I'd go and watch Buster Keaton movies, watch it once and then go out and try and do the moves. So, yeah, real danger I've never really involved myself in. I've swung on a trapeze once and I went, it's not for me that. That's really not my thing. If you're a juggler, you care about your hands and you can't have it both ways. Trapeze seriously calluses up your hands and, you know, damages them. And it's a different set of muscles. I know very few aerialists who also manipulate objects. It's a kind of a choice.
I guess, say juggling and trapeze can't really be two skills that someone has. Do you think that became a positive thing in terms of joining up with other people and being able to create performances with different people having different fortes?
Yes, to some extent. I have to be very careful in this building. See, the modern shows are so aerial because of no seating and so on, that actually, to me, it's a monoculture of aerial, and there's only so much you can do up there. This is an ancient conflict between ground-based performers and aerials. Juggling is the first thing people learn because three rolled-up socks, you can start. You can't start trapeze until you've got rigging. You can't just hang a trapeze off that because it might not be strong enough. You know, in your house, you probably haven't got anywhere you can do it. So trapeze and any related aerial skills depend on the technology of buildings or frames or whatever. And because I don't drive a car, I don't own a house, all my stuff has always been as portable as possible. Like, I don't want to be a drummer because of the drum kit needs a car. You know, I played flute. And, you know, so. Smallness is the thing for me. And the fact that I could teach someone you can teach someone to walk on their hands, they don't need any special equipment. You can teach them to juggle, they don't need special equipment. So the whole aerial, this thing, is, it's not just the art form of aerial, but it's the fact that, you know, you are dependent on having places set that up. The best you're going to get is being able to tie a rope off a tree branch. For, you know, there was slack rope people that used to put a rope between light posts, lamp posts, or trees. But it's very hard to do a tight wire without actually being able to jack it up really rigid, and slack rope's not easy. So the whole aerial thing evolved later, is what I'm trying to say. When we set up Circus Space in London, which is now an established institution, you know, you can get a degree in circus in it. It was originally a squatted building in Islington when we all wanted a big building. Islington Council said, you know, you can have that old tram shed if you want. It's, you know, it needs whitewashing, it's full of dead rats, it's empty and so on. So we took that over as a little community. And that's where the aerialists first came in, because they looked up and went, wow, big space, big beams. And we were a community, except when they rigged it up and ran classes, they could run classes for 6 people, because we were trying to fund the building. And I would run a class for jugglers and we could have 40 people. And 40 jugglers pay more than 6 aerialists. So the conflict was, you know, it's a resources conflict. At the same time, aerialists will use it all year round, whereas jugglers in the summer will go and do it in the park, because they don't need the space. They only need it in the winter or when it's raining. So I'm not saying there's an actual conflict between aerialists and ground-based people, but they have different needs and different interests in a way, really. Because I've seen people with a truck that managed to build a trapeze off it with an A-frame that came out. So you can go to a festival and do that, but it's harder. Whereas I can definitely go to a festival and do my whole act, you know, just walk in the fields. And so in terms of how much you get paid, how much it costs you to set it up, and how dangerous it is now. I mean, you know, if you run classes in the area, you've got to get people to sign off and the insurance. You don't really have to insure people to go to a juggling class. You know, so it's just completely different. It's not, they're not different subcultures. Well, yeah, they're almost different subcultures. But it, as you say, what's nice is the contrast is that you have a more interesting show if you mix them all. So my only resistance to the current Moffat Step shows is there's not enough ground stuff in there. Just in terms of the art form, and when they started doing a theatre show like Noodles and Mundo Parallelo, they're going back to a little bit more of the theatre and the contact thing, because some of this is to do with just the aesthetics of what you think New Circus is where it can go and what it can offer. And our early ones were little plays and stories with circus skills in. Crowbarred in, really. I mean, they weren't strictly necessary to the show.
What would you say is the main difference between old circus and circus these days?
Traditional circus. Well, traditional circus is very... the image of it was very glamorous and very remote, and the people were portrayed as superheroes. You know, I mean, nowadays that would be Olympic champions, but you know, when before the Olympics on TV wasn't that big, you'd go to the circus to watch superheroes, you know, in different costumes, doing impossible things. And Ali said to me nice the other day, she said, Moffat State is our what we look like is ordinary people doing extraordinary things as opposed to superheroes, which sort of partly makes you realise you could join in. It's not like I could never do that. It's more like, oh, can I have a go? And that's partly the image as well of, you know, people do look a bit sweaty. They do, you know, it's not all tattooed and pierced, but there's a kind of punky look to it that might not. Some people want to be glamorous. I mean, lots of people want to be glamorous. People watch Come Dancing and Britain's Got Talent because they want the glitz and the glamour. And actually, we only appeal to a certain kind of audience. Lots of people want that classic show. So we're losing them. We don't appeal to them. They come in and they're kind of disappointed that it isn't Las Vegas. And, you know, it's a choice. it's an artistic choice, and we could still go back to glammy love, but it is why I don't like people saying, oh, Salt Beach Lake. They have gone right down the Las Vegas route. You know. And it still doesn't look like traditional circus, but it's using the same values as traditional circus. Let's do lighting, mask work, just twinkly bits, and really superior skill levels.
Yeah.
And they've also gobbled up all the highest technical skills people from the planet, because they've got the money. You know, they're running seven shows or something like that. So it's actually quite hard for us to hire in skill at the kind of money that we can afford. And even in fact, the hiring in is fairly recent. I mean, it was always home base, homegrown stuff for the first 20 years.
Can I take you back to the early days of Mission Station? There used to be community shows. Were you involved in those? What was your involvement?
Only indirectly, because I was still living in London and I was shuffling back and forth. And community shows involve, you know, longer than a 3-week rehearsal period or something. They actually involve working right through the winter or whatever and involving local people. In terms of my influence on them would be that I've always wanted to share these skills and promote them. So that side of Norfolk State, we've always run workshops as well as done the professional shows. Even in the earliest days, it's always been paralleled. So there's always been that outreach thing to community groups. But the specific community shows that they did, I wasn't directly involved with, just because of the time frame. The very first one was called Autogeddon and was done in a warehouse in Dumbles Road. And it probably involved a couple hundred people. So there were literally, there was a rap group with three guys singing and 10 girls dancing or something, but a school group called the Underdogs, and they're now appearing in a professional show with people paying at the door and coming in. The whole warehouse on stages and ramps and things all over the place. There were ushers dressed as traffic cones. It was all a bit about the horrors of car civilization. So, yeah, so the traffic cones were the people who guided you around, the same as they do now in Taboo, there's people, ushers too. There were artists, there were traffic signs on the wall, you know, they changed something like, no hard verge for 60 yards, I would say no hard feelings for 60 yards. There was just, all the walls would be done up like this. The bar was made up with cars that had been cut in half, so you're sitting in the back seat of a car like a couch. The whole building was full of art and then we threw on the performances, trapeze work, music, sounds, video and live shows. And to watch those kids grow, I mean, I'm picking the Underdogs just because it was funny. There were three nights and I did front of house, so I was doing the tickets on the door and so on, but I hadn't really been involved and I still wanted to see the show. The first night, the girls were dancing and watching each other like, you know, am I getting it right? And the rapper was sort of, had his hat right down over his eyes and he's like this and he's half sitting on a car or something. And on the second night, he was like a bit more bold and the girls were beginning to actually dance, you know, rather than doing moves. And by the third night, with the whole audience out there whooping and yelling, they stormed it. And to watch someone, you know, in a school group, grow from this to that because they've been put in the professional context and allowed to have a go, I mean, that's really rewarding. So my enthusiasm for passing skills on, and not just the skills, passing on the fun of performing to people, I only have that kind of influence. On the day-to-day level, I had nothing to do with it. And they did three more. While the Blue Tent phased out, they made stepping stone projects because they were not sure where they were going. They did past, present and future. So it was Prophecy, Now Dot Here and Immortal. And these were all the same kind of community projects. There was a percussion group from a disability school, you know, there was just stuff all incorporated into the show, as well as the professional performers. And you could wander around, that was the fun. It was like being at a festival. If you actually found that bit boring, there's a whole warehouse of stuff. There's, you know, little mazes and things to explore, and To give you an idea how dramatic that becomes on the altogether, the big finish was they came driving in these little kind of go-kart things, little kind of speed things, right round, not through the audience, but in the building, and then drove towards the back doors, which were roller doors like that, and they, as the roller doors went up, they drove out, and outside there was this sculpture of two cars like that, which burst into flames, and there was this huge bang of a car crash, and all fireworks going off. Outside, of course, because of the fire thing, not inside the warehouse. But I mean, I'd never seen anything like it in my life. I don't think anybody at that show had ever seen anything like that, ever. It was just such a thing to be at. We were turning people away on Saturday, even friends, because we were chock-a-block. Some people still resent that. They said, "You turned me away." And I went, "You should have come on Thursday if you had loads of room." You know, we had got a health and safety limit of 400 people or whatever it was. But now we've driven away from London, and the tradition would be that we'd go, "Oh, just smuggle one more person in." But by then we'd already become quite professional. I went, "I'm really sorry." All right. So that's a community show, but that's, you see what I mean? Community show can sound like amateur dramatics, and actually these things were quite extraordinary. And the same energy is now being used in these outdoor shows. Things like, Barricade is a show with performers, but Park Life and Open House start drawing people in with kind of workshopping scenarios and incorporating them with the professionals. So, you know, it's still a... So yeah, I mean, basically it's a big chunk of No Fit State's work, and the high profile tent gets all the glory because that's the show. You know, hey, they're in Marseille, they're in Perth, they've gone to Australia. But actually, you know, to me, a good half or third of the work is this community outreach, extending opportunities to people. Because we know not everyone's going to become a professional. It's a very precarious way of making a living. But that shouldn't stop you from being able to have an opportunity to try. Does that make sense?
Yeah.